There is a commercial that you have all probably have seen talking about germs and how we need to be more observant about maintaining our physical hygiene or personal hygiene to protect our physical immune system. This commercial is to inform us on how we need and what we need to do to keep our immune system in good working order. The commercial claims that germs are getting stronger, when in reality our immune systems are really getting weaker from all the junk that we put into our bodies. When we get sick enough to go to a doctor, we're usually given an antibiotic. After a period of time, the germs have mutated to where our immune system and the antibiotic can no longer fight off the infection. We pasteurize, we homogenize, we take all the good nutrition out of food by cooking the food to death. Then we so-called put the nutrition back in it. Companies, along with government agencies, do this so we can have a food supply that can sit on the shelf for long periods of time. And that long period is so it will not spoil. One side of the argument calls it for health reasons, while the other side says it's for company profits. But once our immune system is infected, it may take days, even months, before we begin to realize we are sick. When we do get sick, the sickness infects our entire body. We become low esteem. We feel sheltered. We even fall asleep easily. Does it sound familiar? We have all been there, and it is no fun. So what do you do when you have hit that feeling while being sick? Well, we do anything we can. We replace our body with good nutrition by watching what we eat and replace the fluids and electrolytes in our body to set our body back on track. Our spiritual immune system is somewhat the same. We can fill our minds with all kinds of useless junk until one day we become spiritually sick. We begin to compromise our spiritual values of God's teaching and replace it with our own carnal ideas. We may at that time not even know we're affected or have an illness until we start questioning the Bible or have left the fellowship of God and replaced it with some other type of fellowship. And even then, still not realize we are spiritually sick. Today I would like to talk to you about our spiritual immune system. Is it healthy? Is it in danger of getting sick? Or do we already have a virus but yet have not felt the effects at this time? At the time of birth, we were born with a physical immune system. We inherit the immune system from our mother. We only receive God's Holy Spirit at the time of baptism and by the laying on of hands from a minister after we have repented from our sins and allowed Jesus Christ to live and to rule us. We did not receive God's Holy Spirit at birth. It is a process we go through in our walk with God, through the calling of God. Having God's Holy Spirit, we learn through Christ living in us the example he shows for us in his word, his Bible. And through the Holy Spirit, we learn how to have a gentle spirit, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable to others, gentle, showing meekness to everyone we come in contact with. For a servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle unto all men, and willing to teach. Not given to wine or drunkard, not a striker, not greedy for money or worldly possessions, but patient, kind, and doesn't covet. He's also a servant of God, is hospitable. He's a lover of what is good. He's sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful words he has been taught. And he's been taught through God's word, his Bible, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince those who contradict God's word. If you would turn to James 3, we'll read a little bit about this subject. James 3 and verse 17. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." See, our spiritual immune system is becoming strong in the knowledge of God because we're allowing Jesus Christ to live in us. Our attitude before our conversion was not this way. But our attitude now is to continue to grow in grace and knowledge with God's Holy Spirit guiding us along the way. In 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, it says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Our life before living with God, we were poor. We were blinded, not knowing the mysteries of God's master plan for mankind. Our eyes are now opened and we see where God is guiding us. We must stay focused and continue to be directed as God leads us. The more we understand God, the more our love is to be without hypocrisy, to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, the way we think begins to change. We are becoming that new creature, learning to have rule over our emotions and changing our lifestyle to walk that new way of life. He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. So, brethren, if we allow our emotions to rule our thoughts, then we will not have rule over our own minds. This is where our spiritual immune system can become infected with a virus of spiritual destruction. If you would turn to Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, verse 25. It says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." So we see there is nothing more satisfying to Satan the devil than for you to lose your salvation. Satan divides and conquers, and if we fall for his lie, we bring doubt to our mind and allow the infection to spread in our body, to divide ourselves against the body of Jesus Christ. With our own knowledge, we do stand alone and eventually die. We live by the tree of good and evil then. It takes God's knowledge to live and to give us the guidance on how to live. And through the calling of God, we are to learn and attain knowledge God gives us. We live God's way of life seriously. We take God's calling seriously. In Romans 1:28, I'll quote it, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient." So if we cannot rule our own mind, then we allow evil thoughts to rule us. Our thoughts begin to multiply, and then sin multiplies, like cancer throughout the entire body, eating and destroying. And where there is sin, there is death. We die. And we are dead. And then God releases us back to our carnal way of life. If you would turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. We'll read verses 6 through 10. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." See, God's Holy Spirit is what gives us life. It's what gives us peace. And the more we learn about God, the more we draw closer to Him. Our body is dead to sin, but our spiritual life is very alive. Our spiritual life is healthy and doing what pleases God. And the more we draw closer to God, the easier it is for us to avoid the pleasures of this world. Those pleasures are the evil ways of man. If you would turn to James 1. In James 1, verse 12, James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." See, even the smallest sin in our life brings forth death, because sin multiplies itself. It hides in secret places that we might not even know about. This is why we continue to seek God and ask Him for our forgiveness, or ask God for forgiveness of our transgressions, that He will help us seek out those hidden sins and remove those sins from our life. And as we continue to walk with God, the Holy Spirit guides and directs us and allows that new person to shine through our physical body. Our mind is refreshed by observing the Sabbath and keeping it. We understand the plan of salvation through the holy days and what they picture. We watch what we say when speaking to others. And we have concern for others, and we think about their needs without being selfish about ours. If you would turn to Luke 6. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Luke 6, verse 22. It said, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophet." If you would now turn to 1 Peter 2. In 1 Peter 2, verse 19. It says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it, if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to do this, you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us the example that you should follow his steps." So we know, brethren, that there is a time coming, a time where men will seek out to destroy and kill us. And they, what's sad, think they offer God service. If you would turn now to Psalms 19. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 12. It says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from thy secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And as Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So, brethren, we should never be afraid to ask God for help. We need to have a healthy immune system. So how do we develop this healthy immune system? Well, one way to develop it is we need to recognize the disease that can destroy our spiritual body. To recognize the disease that can destroy our spiritual body. And that disease I'm referring to is anything that can take us away from God. If you would turn now to Hebrews 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So we need to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and inject our immune system with healthy antibodies and stay close to the trunk of the tree, which is the tree of life. If you would turn now to Romans. In Romans chapter 10, we'll pick up in verse 14. It says, "How then shall they call him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless you are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things." So we need to be willing to hear God through his scriptures as he talks to us. And we need to talk to him through personal prayer. God teaches us through both physical and spiritual examples. As Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we need God's help to recognize our enemy, because our enemy can disguise himself in many forms and trials, whether it be in the form of cars, homes, jobs, friends, even the brethren. Satan can make himself as a bringer of light to take our mind off God and to place it on the physical things we desire. As 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." One thing, I believe we do not give Satan enough credit for all the deceiving he does in the world. He is a master at it, and he does have the whole world deceived. As Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall be arise of false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and great wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Brethren, let's never say that this can never happen to us, because that is exactly the way Satan will try to deceive us. So let's stay at the trunk of the tree. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon asked for understanding and said, "Give therefore thy servant the understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great of people?" Brother, we need to have the same attitude and willingness to do the same in our life, to be able to judge matters properly. If you would turn to Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44, verse 23. It says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments, and shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." So we need to recognize the disease that can take us away from God's hand. Another point on how we can have a healthy immune system is amplify our defenses. Amplify our defenses to be ready to be on offense when need arises. So how do we amplify our defense? We go to God. We go to God through prayer, fasting, meditation, and Bible study. If you would turn to Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and on earth was named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God." You see, brethren, prayer gives us communication with God. And faith, through the Holy Spirit, gives us strength to continue. We need to exercise God's Holy Spirit to have love and compassion, patience, gentleness towards others, so we can be peacemakers. We need to remove the carnal nature from our life and to put on the godly nature. For if we fear God correctly by doing and living what God says, God will fight our battles. He attacks the things and the elements that can destroy the body. With God, our defense is rock solid. You don't have to turn here, but in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, it says, "For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." See, God is always going to be with us if we allow him to be there. So, brethren, be full of power by the Spirit of God, and of judgment and of might. So magnify both defense and offense, and know when to use them at the right time. A third way to have a healthy immune system is to attack the aggressor. To attack the aggressor. Let nothing separate us from God. Turn to Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 35, Romans 8, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." See, we are to love one another as Christ loved us and gave his life for us. How can we die for someone we do not know? But if we have love for each other as Christ loved us, then we can have that love because we're living God's way of life. And we do have true love because love is the greatest of all. We can see that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. It says, "And now abides faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love." Brethren, turn now, if you would, to John 15. In John 15, verse 18, John 15, verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also." See, we do not want to get comfortable in our spiritual walk with God. We need to be active, always moving forward on our knees, communicating with God. In Romans 8, if you turn there. Romans chapter 8. In verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So if we are living after the flesh, we are going to die by the flesh. We cannot have the foot on one side of the fence or the other. We must firmly be rooted in God's word. We are the only ones that can turn our back on God. Mark 8. Mark chapter 8, in verse 35, it says, For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my name's sake and the gospel's will save it. So a question we could come to is, are we willing to do whatever it takes to preserve the lifestyle and teaching that God has given to each one of us? Before you answer it, seriously think about it. Are you willing to give up your life for God's way of life? It may be easy to answer at this time, but will your answer still be the same when you are put to the test? Turn, if you would, to Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, in verses 8 and 9, it says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let nothing, brethren, separate us from God. Attack the aggressor. And the fourth point I have is when the trial or battle is over, let's not forget the lessons we have learned. When the trial or battle is over, let's not forget the lessons we have learned. For we read, Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. As Jesus said, His will was to do the will of the Father who sent him, and to finish his work. We need to always focus on God's will and to have the fervent desire to complete our mission God has called each one of us to do. We should delight in doing God's will and let God's law be within our hearts and recognize the things that are not from God. God never leaves or forsakes us, as I've said earlier, and it's something we all know that God won't do. We are never alone with God. No matter what the situation may appear like, God is with us. We need to constantly remind ourselves, we are to make God happy. We are to seek out His praise. Live the life that is pleasing to God, that we may receive all of His abundant blessings. Focus our mind to see when we are in need for offense or defense, when fighting our battles. Turn, if you would, to 1 John 3. In 1 John 3, verse 22, it says, And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, serving God with gladness and love and loving God, God will help direct our life to be the fullest, whether we pass a trial or we don't. If we fail at that trial, we need to get up and we dust ourselves off and we face it again. This is being willing to attack the aggressor, that trial. Proverbs 4. In Proverbs 4, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Well, brethren, in closing, if you turn to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22, it says, "Put off concerning your former conducts the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and in true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another." So, brethren, let's develop a healthy immune system, a healthy spiritual immune system, an immune system that brings forth life, an immune system that glorifies our great Creator God.